So the message that I have for this morning is not the one that I wanted to have. I wanted to try to continue on a similar thought with what I was speaking on last week, but I couldn't get it together. So I guess I just take it from the Lord that maybe this is what I'm supposed to speak on this week. So I'm going to continue on a similar thought to what I preached on a good while ago, where this morning I just want you guys to step back and look at a big picture. Again, I'm not going to go on a very logical, linear thought through all this, but there will be somewhat of a theme, and that's the theme will be seen in the big picture. The heartbeat of the Bible. There really are just two subjects in the Bible. Man and the Son of Man, or man and God. So, before I get farther with this, I'd like to stop and just pray once. Father, I pray that you'd be with us this morning. Be especially with me as I endeavor to open up your word. Father, I just pray that all of us would have hearts that are open and ready to hear it. Father, that we would all be blessed, edified, and encouraged this morning. Amen. Nikki recently had an occasion to ask Christina what the Bible was about, and she gave a very good answer. She said it's just a whole bunch of stories of people who did things. People who did things. And that's very profound. This Bible is just a book of stories of people who did things. But then there's an undercurrent, and that undercurrent is what I want to focus on even more this morning, and that is how God was acting in that story. If you want to get to know someone, you have to observe how they act in different situations, because that is who they are. And that's what we see through the Bible. We see man doing things, and we see God doing things. We see, open up your Bible, you see creation of man. And man was created in God's image. Then we see the fall of man. Man became sinful. Those two themes run through the rest of Scripture, and that's what the Bible is. If you keep this in mind, it really makes the Bible come so much more clear. We see God created the heaven and the earth. That whole story. Then you turn a couple chapters later, and you see man fell. And then you see God kicks man out of the garden. Then we see Cain kills Abel, and God marks Cain. Then we see man was wicked, so God flooded the earth. Man builds a tower to reach unto heaven. God confounds their language. This is the Bible, cover to cover. Man does something, God does something. You see this back and forth, cover to cover. The Bible is about man working and God working with man. We see this going back and forth. After the fall of man, the majority of the rest of Scripture is devoted to Christ. And the people that, well, of course, the Jews. God decided that the Christ was going to come through the people of the Jews. So some of it is devoted to them and their story. The whole Bible is devoted to Christ and who He is in every way. Most of the prominent Bible characters are pictures of Christ. All of the sacrifices are pictures of Christ. Many of the rules that the Jews kept were shadows of spiritual truths that we have in Christ. Most of the stories of the Old Testament are intended to illustrate the work of Christ in some way or another. And I'm just planning on just throwing out a broad spectrum of a list of some of these random things. the tree of life in the garden. Obviously a picture of Christ. We read in Genesis 3:15, God says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. Prophecy of the coming of Christ. Noah's ark is a picture of Christ in Genesis 7:15. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded them, and the Lord shut him in. They had to be in the ark to be saved. We have to be in Christ to be saved. Genesis 12:3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Genesis 12:7. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Now we turn to the New Testament and read in Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Isaac is a picture of Christ. I want to read Genesis chapter 22. Because this is one of my favorite pictures of Christ in the Old Testament. So I'm going to read the whole chapter. You guys can follow along if you want. You don't have to. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I shall tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father? And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. And it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, Behold, I guess I'm not going to read any further than that. That's all I need. One quick question. Who can tell me what's the difference between a lamb and a ram? What's the difference between a lamb and a ram? What does it say in verse 8? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. We turn the page, at least I do, and verse 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. This ram, yes, it was the lamb that Abraham was talking about, but then again, no, it wasn't. Jesus was the lamb that God provided. God will provide for himself a lamb. That lamb was Christ. This ram was a picture of Christ. We go back. Verse 5, Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Then we go, verse 19 says, so Abraham returned unto his young men. And as I've said before, the Bible is an inspired book. Not only what it says is inspired, but what it does not say. And it does not mention Isaac here. We know that Isaac did return because he wasn't killed, but it doesn't mention it here. Because guess what? Jesus didn't walk down off the mountain either. And this is a picture of Christ. So this inspired Bible does not mention the fact that Isaac walked down because it's drawing a picture of Isaac being a sacrifice. This is just one example. And it's one that's got a lot of details that are fun to notice. And it's beautiful. Joseph in Genesis 50, verse 19. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? Genesis 50, 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. And you guys all remember the story. Joseph was a picture of Christ. His brothers sold him. But it turned out to be their own salvation. Jesus comes to his people, the Jews, and they reject him and they crucify him by the hand of the Romans. And it turns out to be their own salvation. Joseph is a picture of Christ. Moses in Numbers 12:7. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. Let me turn to Hebrews 3:2. Speaking of Moses, it says, who was faithful to him... No. Speaking of Christ, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Moses was a picture of Christ. Deuteronomy 18:15, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. Acts 7:37. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear. And that's, of course, Stephen, drawing this parallel, saying, Christ was the prophet that was like unto Moses. Aaron is a picture of Christ. Exodus 28:1. And take thou unto thee Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. Hebrews 5:4. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Jonah. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Matthew 12:40 says, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." We see this. These are just a few random examples. This is what the Bible is from cover to cover. Manna was a picture of Christ. In John 6:48, "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that ye may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." The sacrifices were pictures of Christ. You had the trespass offering. You had the sin offering. You had the scapegoat. The peace offerings. The red heifer. The morning and the evening sacrifices. The leper's offering. The paschal lamb. All these pictured the work of Christ on the cross in a slightly different angle and perspective. Leprosy, of course, is a picture of sin. So that's a very clear one. The Passover lamb, you all remember that? Very clear. Christ was actually even crucified on the Passover, making that one very obvious. If you remember, every firstborn in Egypt died that night. But God passed over every house where the blood of the lamb was on the lintel and the doorposts. Even the layout of the temple pictures Christ. There was the mercy seat, which is a picture of Christ. There was the laver of brass. Every time the priest entered the tabernacle, and every time that he ministered at the altar, he was commanded to wash both his hands and his feet. At the table of the showbread, you have the veil of the tabernacle in the temple. Hebrews 10:19 says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil." That is to say, his flesh. The veil in the temple was a picture of Jesus in the flesh. Though Jesus was God manifest in the flesh, his Godhead was veiled by his flesh. If you remember when Jesus died, the veil in the temple was torn from the top to the bottom. The veil in the temple was that picture of Christ. Man was outside the veil. God dwelt inside the veil. That veil was between God and men. And there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. The veil was a picture of Christ. Looks like I'm going to be getting done a little bit early. But anyway, a couple interesting examples. Moses and Joshua are a type of law versus grace. Moses gave the law, but Joshua brought the people into the promised land. And what does the name of Joshua mean? Savior. Saul and David are a type of the devil and Christ. If you remember, the devil was first created to be a protector of Adam and Eve in the garden. But he fell, brought man into bondage, just like Saul fell and brought Israel into the hands of the Philistines. And David is very unquestionably a picture of Christ. I mentioned this last night. I was trying to make a trivia question about it, and people balked at it. But Elijah and Elisha are even a type of John the Baptist and Jesus. Elijah was the prophet in the wilderness. John the Baptist was in the wilderness. Elisha came after Elijah. His first three miracles all had to do with water. Jesus' first miracle was turning the water into wine. John the Baptist was the one that the people complained about. I can't remember how they said it, but Jesus was the winebibber and the friends of publicans and sinners. It's the same thing. Elijah and Elisha, you see the same personalities in them. Elijah spent most of his life in seclusion, and the people were always looking for him, much like John the Baptist. Elisha was very sociable. You always find him with the sons of the prophets. Matthew 11:18, for John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil. Matthew 11:19, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous, a winebibber, and a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Then we come to Jesus on the earth. Of course, those 33 years are the height of history. Everything in the Old Testament points forward to those 33 years. And everything in the New Testament points back to those 33 years. Even the things we see in the New Testament point to Christ. Christ is the head of the church. Even all the commands of Christ point back to Him. Because if we obey them, makes us like Christ. The Lord's Supper very obviously points to Christ, just like the sacrifices in the Old Testament pointed forward to Him. All the character qualities that we as Christians are supposed to have will cause our lives to point to Christ. Forgiveness. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Love, Colossians 3:14, and above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And then, God is love. Thankfulness, Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Matthew 11:25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. John 11:41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Joy. We're told in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to rejoice evermore. But then we read in Psalm 45:7, thou lovest righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit, and Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. It doesn't matter where you look in Scripture. Everything points to Christ. Jesus is the central theme throughout the entire Bible. And this has all been very random, kind of unorganized even in some ways. But I just hope to get everybody to stand back and look at the big picture. I've only begun this study. But it doesn't matter where you are reading in your Bible. You can continue it from right there. Because you can find Christ on every page of Scripture. You'll either find Him as a type, or a picture, or else you'll find Him at work, which displays His character. You'll find His shadow. Almost every ceremony commanded in the Old Testament law. You will see His picture reflected in the face of many of the Bible characters. Wherever you look, you'll see Christ. And I guess my point this morning is just to encourage you guys when you read through the Bible, to keep this in mind. The Bible, yes, it's stories of people and what they've done. But more importantly, catch that theme of God working with those people in every story. Every story in this book has Christ in it in some way or another. And let me pray. Father, we just thank you for this book. And we thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, that you would help us as we live our lives and read this book regularly. Pray, Father, you would help us see Christ. Help us see Him in a new and a more beautiful and perfect and complete way than we ever have before. Just pray that you would open up these pages to us. Father, that we would learn of you. Amen.